Culture Committee, and I believe we have a quorum now, so will our secretary please call the roll?
Senators Galjani.
Here.
Galjani here. Wilk.
Wilk. Here.
Wilk here. Wilk present. Berryhill. Dodd. Pan.
Here.
Pan here.
Okay, we have three bills on the file today, and welcome Senator McGuire. You are here to present SB 965, dealing with the California Cattle Council. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Madam Chair and members and staff. I want to start out by thanking Madam Chair for all of her work and your very capable staff on this important bill, and grateful for all of your efforts. Madam Chair and members, California has some of the best grass-fed and organic beef in the world. Many of these organic beef ranchers are from small rural communities, and many are multi-generational. And many are focused on both quality for the consumer and taking care of the land that has taken care of them for so long. The Golden State's cattle market is proudly one of the most diverse in the nation, with small family farmers and some larger producers who serve consumers with a range of tastes and needs. We also do business proudly differently in California compared to many states. And that is what makes California's beef market so strong. We have the strictest clean air and clean water laws in America, rightfully so. And California's cattle ranches and dairies are tackling climate pollutants because it's the right thing to do for the future of this state. That said, California's family beef ranchers are at an economic disadvantage because they don't have an ability to be able to tell the story of an industry that is completely different than its competing states. And it's that difference that makes California beef so unique. Family beef ranchers don't have the ability to do the research it takes to fully reduce their carbon footprint and to educate their peers on best practices to combat climate change. Cattle and dairy farmers across the state are the heart of California's $46 billion agricultural economy, which your chair is so familiar with. Cattle are one of the top five valued of our agricultural commodities, and we are one of the top producing beef states in America. And while other states can only dream of rolling golden hills and diverse markets of organic grass-fed beef and environmentally friendly farming practices, California exemplifies it every day. But despite our top production of beef and our widespread cattle market, no state entity exists to solely promote or conduct research specifically for California's diverse cattle industry. This would be similar to what already exists with other agricultural products here in California. Fruit and vegetables, for example, who have their own state entity that is focused on education, marketing, and research. This type of state-specific research and education is not something that can be accomplished with a marketing order or the existing California Beef Council, which is governed by federal law, neither of which have the flexibility necessary for California's unique needs. The existing California Beef Council is a qualified state beef council under federal law. And this council must adhere to federal rules, which restricts their funds from favoring one state or another. The current California Beef Council cannot fully promote what makes California's farming and ranching families so unique. They cannot conduct research on our own niche markets or progressive environmental laws, and they cannot differentiate between California beef and American beef. SB 965 will allow California cattle families the ability to remedy this. This bill will allow them the right to vote and decide on whether or not they want to establish the California Cattle Council, which will utilize funds collected through a refundable assessment of $1 per head on cattle, specifically for California research, education, and promotion on the raising of California beef and dairy cattle. This bill will provide narrow authority to the council and allows for a full refund without prejudice to anyone. And by the way, that would remain private and confidential. Our biggest strength, our diverse cattle market, with our small family farmers and larger ranchers, highlights a greater need for state-specific research and education. We need numbers on how we can minimize impacts on water supply during a drought, or how to reduce methane emissions. SB 965 is essential to ensuring that we give our small ranch and families the tools they need to thrive in an ever-changing industry. Madam Chair, thank you for your patience. And here today to be able to provide testimony are some family farmers, throughout California. We have Cody Nicholson Stratton, a small family rancher of Foggy Bottom Jersey's Dairy in Ferndale. He drove a long way overnight to be here. Just want to say thank you so much. And of course, Molly Lambert of Dorrance Ranches in Monterey County, which overlooks the beautiful Salinas Valley. And without further ado, if it's okay, Madam Chair, I will turn it over to Cody.
Thank you very much. Witnesses in support.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee. My name is Cody Nicholson Stratton, and I am here today on behalf of the men and women of the California dairy industry in support of SB 965. My family owns and operates the Foggy Bottoms Jersey Dairy, located in Ferndale up in Humboldt County. We are a family-owned, organic, pasture-based dairy and have had the privilege of farming there since the 1860s. I personally have the privilege of being the fifth generation to farm on our land, and I am today work with three generations on our farm in the daily operation of our business, including myself and my husband, my parents, as well as my grandparents. Our mild regional climate provides for a unique situation in which we're able to graze our cattle for a full 365 days annually, and utilizing progressive holistic pasture management practices, including rotational grazing, targeted stocking densities, knowledge of our local plant communities, as well as biologic weed and pest management, we're able to impact our land in an environmentally beneficial manner. The organic milk produced on our dairy is shipped to the local family-owned Rumiano Cheese Company, where it is processed into cheese, butter, and lactose for both domestic consumption as well as international export. We operate and interact with the consumer through our social media platform, and many I'm using the handle Foggy Bottoms Boys on a daily basis to inform them and show them what we do on our farm. And in addition to my life on the farm, I also currently represent the dairy industry as a member of the SB 1383 Subgroup 1, which is working to foster markets for non-digester projects through the CDFA and ARB. Today, however, I am here to speak on behalf of the 800 men and women of the Western United Dairymen, and the many individual dairies from across California who support this important piece of legislation. California has been the nation's leading dairy state, ranking first in the U.S. in the production of total milk, butter, ice cream, non-fat dry dairy, and whey protein concentrate. With the growing demand for dairy products like cheese and yogurt, as well as strong dairy exports, it accounts for 189,000 jobs that are dependent on the state's milk production and processing done here in California. California accounts for more than one-fifth of the nation's total milk production, and the dairy industry in 2014 contributed $65 billion to the California economy. Today, California's dairy industry enjoys the highest standards in the nation. We employ the latest techniques in farm management, herd health, and milk handling. As I'm sure you know, California dairy producers are the most environmentally progressive in the nation. We are held to a higher environmental, animal health, land, and water standard than anywhere in the country. And over the next two decades, we'll take the lead in reducing livestock greenhouse gas emissions as we reduce our methane emissions by 40%. Senate Bill 965 would allow dairy producers to conduct research to help the industry continue to meet the state's environmental and greenhouse gas reduction goals while maintaining our economic viability as an industry. This legislation has been carefully crafted. It provides the opportunity for dairy producers like myself to decide whether or not to assess ourselves in the creating a California Cattle Commission. Any individual producer, large or small, organic or conventional, has one vote. And if the producer chooses not to support the Cattle Commission, they can obtain a refund, no questions asked. California's organized dairy producers are fully supportive of this effort to establish the council, and we are committed to this legislation. We ask for your yes vote today. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you say a $65 billion industry?
Yes.
Nationwide?
I believe it's
all of agriculture combined is, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Next witness in support.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Molly Lambert, and I am a fourth generation rancher from Monterey County. I am here to speak on behalf of my fellow cattle producers in support of SB 965. I would first like to say thank you to Senator McGuire for your leadership on this issue, and Senator Galgiani and members of the committee for your continued support for us and our ability as ranchers and dairy farmers to promote California cattle production. This is truly a grassroots bill, demonstrated by the over 250 ranchers statewide and 15 local cattlemen's associations representing 22 counties that have submitted letters of strong support. And as you just heard, there is a positive response from the dairy industry as well. We sincerely appreciated your support for AB 243 last year and have returned with a new and better bill. California Cattlemen's Association has spent the last 4 months working in good faith to fine-tune this bill and address issues expressed by the opposition, including but not limited to language that prohibits the council from lobbying, a resolution to address issues involving state antitrust laws, and an inclusive structure that recognizes the contributions of all California cattle producers, including conventional and organic. To be clear, SB 965 does not impose a fee, and voting for this legislation will not result in legislature levying any kind of tax or assessment on beef and dairy producers. SB 965 simply provides the opportunity for individuals like myself to make that decision, to have a voice. The bill also guarantees any individual that owns cattle or a percentage of cattle has a vote and a voice. The vote prescribed under SB 965 is inclusive rather than exclusive and does not favor large producers over small producers. If you own 10 head, you have one vote. If you own 2,000 head, you have one vote. SB 965 is also unique because it establishes a refund provision, as you've heard. The language in the bill is very clear. A refund must be issued without question or prejudice, and this provision cannot be removed or inhibited in any way by CDFA, the council, or a vote of the state's producers. California beef and dairy producers are the most progressive in the country. Although we recognize that not every Californian consumes beef or dairy products, all Californians have a vested interest in ensuring that beef and dairy products offered in California come from producers that live and operate here, not other states or other countries. Thank you for your consideration, and we respectfully ask for a yes vote on SB 965.
Thank you very much. Do we have other witnesses in support? Please state your name and organization.
Good morning. Noelle Kramers with California Farm Bureau in support of the bill. I did want to point out, one, the refund provision is not common in commissions and councils and is very important. So if the majority do vote to put it in place, the minority still has the ability to not have to pay into that. So I think that's a real important key. There's also been a lot of discussion about opportunities for research into improved environmental practices. I want to point out there's also opportunity for improved animal care and health practices. So the legislature passed SB 27 a couple years ago that changes the way we can use antibiotics. This would provide opportunities for research into further vaccines so we could prevent disease rather than have to treat it later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Shane Gussman on behalf of the Teamsters. We have members in this industry and we support the bill.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members, Senator McGuire, Jennifer Fearing on behalf of the Center for Food Safety. I don't have lengthy commentary today, but as you know, we, along with a number of other organizations and small ranchers around the state and beyond, took an issue in this committee last year with Mr. Cooper's AB 243 and appreciate the efforts to tailor some of the changes in 965 to those concerns. But unfortunately, our read of the bill, which we haven't had these amendments for long, appears that a number of the concerns that we expressed to this committee last year persist in this bill. In particular, it's an extraordinarily broad authority to a council of private industry members, shielding of information from public scrutiny. Lobbying activities continue to be permitted under this. It just narrowly prohibits the hiring of a lobbyist or a lobbying firm. We would want to see language similar to other councils that's more comprehensive with respect to prohibiting lobbying activity, have concerns about some of the exemptions from liability for both the state and the council members, and concerns about the reduction of the assessment threshold from 65% to a majority vote. So we've been engaged in conversation with Mr. McGuire's office, would like to continue those conversations, but our concerns remain very similar to those that we expressed last year.
Okay, thank you. Other witnesses in opposition?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim Ewert with the California News Publishers Association. We apologize to Senator McGuire for our late opposition, but he did have an opportunity to meet with his staff and the sponsor of the bill yesterday to discuss some of the concerns that we have with the bill. And our concerns are a very small portion of this legislation. We think it's actually a good bill otherwise, but we do have some concerns about the confidentiality aspects of the council being prohibited from disclosing any information about anyone who is subject to this chapter, which is a very broad category. And our belief is that if an entity or a group of individuals are going to take advantage of government agencies for any purpose whatsoever, that the public should have access to the names of those who are being regulated or at least affected by the decision-making body. And this body will be making policy in some respects. It will have the ability to assess individuals, and without public oversight, we think that there's potential for abuse. Again, we've been talking with Senator McGuire's staff and the sponsors about this. Hopefully we can come to some resolution at that point in time. But as for now, that is a significant concern for the newspaper publishers. We're also concerned about a provision in the bill that makes it unlawful to make a disparaging remark or a disparaging comment that would affect the quality of the commodity. And as we read it, this would prevent anyone at the council from saying anything if they had information about a tainted product or a contaminated product to the appropriate regulatory body that could take action. And I'm certain that that's not what the legislature intends. I'm certain it's not what the senator intends. And again, we've been talking with the senator's staff and the sponsor to address that issue. Our last concern has to do with the potential breadth of what constitutes proprietary information. There really isn't a definition in the bill. Quite frankly, we've been searching in other areas of the codes to see if we can at least come to some idea of what that means, and it's eluded us. But we've talked to the staff and the sponsor, and we think that we may have some answers potentially on that as well. So we still respectfully oppose the bill, but we're willing to work with the author and the sponsors to get it to a point where our concerns are addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in opposition?
Paul Towers with PAN North America. Again, been working closely with the senator and the senator's staff and appreciate the conversations thus far. We do see significant improvements over the bill last year, AB 243. We still have some remaining concerns, and we look forward to working through some of those with the member and staff. In particular, we've been working closely with the Organization for Competitive Markets and California Farmers Union and California Dairy Campaign. We continue to have concerns about fair representation for organic grass-finished or other conventional dairy folk. And that we make sure that those voices are heard fairly within the process and on any of respective committees. We also have concerns about the mandatory provision of the checkoff, and that in fairness, the ability to seek a refund remains very cumbersome. And so looking for really a path forward to make that a voluntary checkoff would be the path forward that many of the folks that we work with would prefer. So I think those are some of the things that we're continuing to dig into. Again, we received these amendments relatively recently and are continuing conversations with our farmer and rancher partners in efforts to hopefully find a path forward together.
Thank you. Any other witnesses? Do we have any questions or comments from members? Senator Penn.
Thank you, Senator McGuire, for bringing this bill forward, and I think it's very important that we address these issues in helping our the cattle and dairy industry. I guess the question I do have is that was raised by the newspaper publishers. I know there's provision about the council and the secretary shall keep all lists under possession confidential, except I'm can you perhaps elaborate on the reason for that provision? On the face of it, I'm not sure I understand why that was necessary. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is very common. If we have 22 council, ag councils, ag product councils, and commissions throughout the state, if we take a look at the confidentiality language that is embedded within this bill, it's actually the most narrow out of any of the other 22 that already exist. So we have taken amendments and been very careful about crafting this language. But here's the bottom line. No farmer wants to be able to allow their competition to be able to see what they are selling their beef for or their almonds for, et cetera. So there is some confidentiality portions of this bill, particularly related to price. That said, we welcome suggestions where we can continue to narrow the confidentiality portion of this bill. On the issue of disparaging remarks, we actually took an amendment on the issue of disparaging remarks because there was some concern that were advanced last year about small family beef producers making disparaging remarks against non-meat products. And so that's one of the reasons why we took that. This industry is all about transparency when it comes to the health of its product. The health of its product is what we have for consumers to be able to believe that California beef is the best in the world. There is no way that we would want to be able to punish any individual who would be a whistleblower in bringing forward any challenges with this industry. So be more than willing to be able to figure out how to craft that. But I just want to make sure everyone knows that there were some amendments taken on that issue because there was some concern that was advanced last year about any potential disparaging remarks against non-beef products. When we take a look at lobbying, so currently in this bill, the council as a whole cannot lobby. There has been some suggestions that were brought forward that individual members of the council can't lobby on behalf of the council. Now, there's no black or white answer on this issue because we have some ag councils and commissions that can lobby individually and some that can't. So it's been suggested, as currently written with the federal statute, that individual members should not be able to lobby on behalf of the council, but only as individuals. We're willing to be able to take a look at that. That's something that we are going to continue to work on. And what my bottom line is, we will work with anyone and everyone to be able to make this bill as positive as possible. Madam Chair, just talking about opt-in or opt-out, this legislature has precedent related to opt-out provisions. In a landmark bill that was brought forward by Senator Leno with community choice aggregators, this legislature intentionally took the opt-out provision when it came to establishing new community choice aggregation operations in counties throughout this state. And the reason being is if you have opt-in, it doesn't necessarily work. I come from a county, the county of Sonoma, that established our own CCA with an opt-out provision. There are many that said that it was not fair. Look, it is not cumbersome to be able to get your money back if you do not want to participate in this program via an opt-out threshold. And it is 50% plus one. We elect each of us. If you get one more vote than your competitor, you're in. That's the same stance that we take with this provision in regards to establishing the $1 fee that would put California beef producers, small family farmers, at an advantage over other states if this bill were to be able to go through. I just wanted to touch base on that because we intentionally modeled this under what the legislature has already done with opt-in and opt-out on that issue. And then I just want to get back. There's 22 councils and commissions across this state that have language similar to confidentiality that have already in statute that this legislature has passed and the governor has signed. That said, we're more than willing to to be able to have that discussion and to be able to meet those who have concerns with the bill as we move forward. And that is my commitment to the chair and to all of you. This is very early on. And I'll just end it here, Madam Chair, with this. I think that this bill has come a long way. We started working with small family farmers and beef producers last fall. Is there additional room? Absolutely. And I think that you're going to see some continued changes as this bill moves forward. But the bottom line is this. Our market in California is unique. California beef producers and dairy farmers proudly farm California. And it's because we are firm on our environmental stance and wanting to be able to keep our family farming heritage alive, as you heard from our two incredible witnesses here today. I would ask us to continue to allow work on this bill because we need this to keep our advantage throughout this nation when it comes to our competing states and California beef. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Senator, I would like to add some historical perspective to the rationale behind the confidentiality provisions that are in other councils in the state and which I believe are important to this bill as well. Back in September 11th, 2011, I was chief of staff to my predecessor, who was the chair of the Agriculture Committee in the Assembly at that time. And there was grave concern over the state's domestic food supply and us not knowing whether there would be another attack. There was great concern about whether our water sources and our domestic food supply would be attacked following the events of September 11th. So much so that we held a hearing of the Agriculture Committee with regard to the safety of crop dusters and the risk that could have been in place had there been an ability to have some kind of poison in the crop dusters and then spreading that over our crops throughout California. There was concern over having some kind of poison to our dams in the state, et cetera. But one of those other concerns was with regard to our domestic livestock. So that is a very important provision of your bill for that very reason, so that we don't have to revisit those concerns. With that, do we have any other questions or comments from members? We have a motion on the bill. Oh, Senator Pan.
Thank you, and I appreciate the comments, and I will be voting for the bill because I guess just when I was reading the language, it says lists. So I understand there's issues of confidentiality that related to, for example, people competitiveness, pricing, maybe volume production. There's obviously some safety issues there as well. I think it'd be helpful. Again, I haven't compared it to the language in the other commissions, that it just says lists. So for me, it just seemed a bit vague about what lists are we talking about. So maybe some clarification there would be helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, if it's okay, just on closing comments, and I appreciate the good senator from Sacramento's comments on that. We will continue to work with all those who have concerns with the bill. It's the right thing to do. We want to get this right this year. Are we going to be able to satisfy everyone's need with most bills? Most likely not, but I think that we've come a long way, and I commit to you, we're going to go further. We're going to go further on the issue. I think that we can go further on the issue of confidentiality while still protecting some of those important parts that the chair just mentioned, as well as what small family producers would say. The other piece where I think that we can go further is on membership. Making sure that small family farmers have a seat at the table when it comes to the direction of this potential council. And that's another significant piece. On the issue of disparaging remarks, we're more than willing to be able to take that. That was an amendment that we took. It may have gone too far. We're more than willing to be able to have that conversation as well. And I commit to you that we're going to continue having collaborative conversations to be able to make this bill even more improved, and would respectfully ask for an aye vote. And thank you, Madam Chair, for all your work on this.
Thank you very much. We have a motion on the bill. Will our secretary please take the roll?
SB 965, the motion is due pass and re-refer to Rules Committee. Senators Galjani.
Aye.
Galjani, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Berryhill. Dodd. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Put it on call for Don.
Okay. We'll go ahead and put that bill on call until the other members are here. Thank you very much. Senator Pan. Yes. Thank you. And you're here to present SB 1039, dealing with market milk and ultra-filtered milk products.
Hey, thank you.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair, committee members. I'd like to first of all thanking the committee staff and CDFA staff for their work on the bill and helping make amendments, so thank you. Today I present to you SB 1039, which would give the Secretary of the California Department of Food and Ag authority to make existing temporary ultra-filtered milk standards permanent. The bill further clarifies the definition of ultra-filtered milk product and requires labeling to ensure the consumer is aware that the milk is ultra-filtered. Ultra-filtered milk is an additional step in milk processing that increases the protein by removing and converting the lactose. It lowers the solids but not the fat, causing the milk not to meet all the standards for market milk, which were established in the Milk Products Act of 1947. In 2015, the Fairfield Company wanted to market in California to meet the higher demand for a milk product that had more protein and no lactose. Fairfield petitioned CDFA, and the department granted a temporary standard for 2% fat ultra-filtered milk within the Food and Ag Code. Even though Fairfield was the original petitioner, the definition was broad enough to include other brands as well. Over the past several decades, we've seen a decline in conventional milk consumption. SB 1039 will provide another option to consumers who are looking for alternative traditional milk products. I would make note as a physician that we do know that we do have a lot of adults who are lactose intolerant, primarily actually people of Asian descent, African-American and Latino descent, which of course composes a large percentage of our state. Yes, so I think that to be able to provide a product that they can enjoy that would be something that would also be beneficial for our community. So with that, please move the bill forward. I respectfully ask for an aye vote and I have a witness in here in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Well, with that great introduction, I don't have much to say, but which is rare. This is Dennis Albiani from California Advocates on behalf of the Fairlife Company in Fairfield. Fairlife is a brand that developed this ultra-filter process, and when they brought this through, it concentrates the milk, it increases the proteins, takes out the sugars, and what you end up with is 1.7 gallons of milk to make 1 gallon of Fairlife. And so it's all milk. I think that's one of their biggest promotions. This is 100% milk from cows, and it's just a product that fits certain people's desires for both like a recovery from workouts, for the lactose intolerant folks. And when they take the lactose out, what happens in the 2% is it reduces the solids, not fat, because the sugars were solids that were not fat. And it goes below the standard, which was, again, set in 1947. So when we worked with the CDFA 2.5 years ago, they approved this temporary standard. While it does meet the Fairlife requirements, it also is available for other brands of milk as well. And there's some other competitors within the space. And so we wanted to bring some excitement back to the milk case, and that's what Fairlife does here in California. We want to make this standard permanent. We have spoken with CDFA, and we've been meeting with the entire milk industry, and believe we have a broad acceptance of the product and the definitions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have other witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Do we have any questions or comments from members? Senator Wilk.
Mr. Albiani, did you bring any of this product for us to sample today?
That was an oversight. I apologize. I did bring my fancy. So you can see they do a little bit different marketing. This happens to be chocolate, but it is empty. Next time.
Thank you. Any other comments? Do we have a motion on the bill?
So moved.
We have a motion on the bill. Will our secretary please call the roll?
SB 1039, the motion is due, pass, and re-refer to appropriations. Senators Galjani?
Aye.
Galjani, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Berryhill? Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. It's out.
Okay, that bill is out. Senator Wilk. Senate Bill 1409, dealing with industrial hemp.
Control, do they control the mic? Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I have before you today SB 1409, where this is going to give us an opportunity to restore America's tradition of growing industrial hemp. This measure will update current law to streamline the production and cultivation of industrial hemp in California and allow California farmers to grow and produce non-intoxicating hemp seed, oil, fiber, and extract the commercial and use the extract for commercial and industrial uses. There are over 30 nations and 19 states in the U.S. that are currently growing industrial hemp, and with California representing the largest consumer market for hemp materials in the nation, we are currently in position to take advantage of that opportunity. Industrial hemp is an agricultural crop that is grown and processed throughout the world for thousands of consumers and food products. The plant's fibers are among the strongest natural fibers in the world and can be used to replace wood for construction, paper pulp, and even used in concrete production for our roads and highways. And by the way, it sequesters carbon as well. The seed oil is highly nutritious and replaces artery-clogging trans fats with healthy essential fats necessary for balanced nutrition. On top of the many, many modern uses of industrial hemp, the benefits for farmers are not only financial, but practical. On top of the many modern uses of industrial hemp, the benefits for farmers, that's in there twice. I feel like Chet Ray, Chet Ray. It's a long story. California, as you know, California is no stranger to drought, and the water conservation value in growing industrial hemp is remarkable. Hemp crop requires less water and agricultural chemicals than many other crops currently in rotation on our farms, and has deep roots that leaves the soil in excellent condition for the next year. This issue was brought to me from my local Farm Bureau in the Antelope Valley. After 16 years of litigating water rights, the ag community is a major loser in that. They're having their water supply cut by 44% over the next 5 years. The primary crop in the Antelope Valley is alfalfa, and alfalfa is 7 acre-feet of water per acre, where industrial hemp is under 2 if done properly. So obviously my farmers are looking for, they want to remain in agriculture and want to look for a crop that they can continue to grow. At one point, California was actually well positioned in the industrial hemp world when we enacted SB 566, and that was Senator Leno from 2013, which established an industrial hemp farming pilot program upon federal authorization. Then in 2014, the federal government passed their latest iteration of the Farm Act, and the federal government authorized industrial hemp research in states which have passed legislation authorizing state departments of agriculture to establish pilot programs and institutions of higher education to conduct cultivation for research. Unfortunately, Prop 64 contained provisions that essentially undid much of the progress made under SB 566, and by expanding the definition of industrial hemp and in large part failing to differentiate it from its psychoactive counterpart, cannabis. SB 1409 brings California's hemp laws up to date by adding pilot program status to California Department of Food and Agriculture's hemp program as required by the federal law, and by bringing the definition of industrial hemp in line with its true reality. SB 1409 will allow farmers the opportunity to diversify their farm operations, cut down on water usage, create jobs, and ensure California is consistent with federal law. Just last week, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other colleagues at the federal level have begun work on establishing a differential between industrial hemp, the agricultural commodity, and cannabis, and removing the former from the list of federally controlled substances. California should not fall behind the federal government on this issue. We should, as always, be the leader. In closing, recent amendments made this week will ensure our local cities and counties have the ability to opt out of the hemp registration program, as they are the ones to best make that decision. I think we probably addressed the concerns of that particular ag commissioner, and Madam Chairman, we will reach out to him and make sure that those are concerned. So,
thank you.
I appreciate you sharing that with me. I look forward to answering any questions and respectfully ask for an aye vote. With me, I have two gentlemen. I have Will Clyden, who's founder and CEO of Ojai Energetics, and Brett Barrow, representing Vote Hemp.
Thank you very much. Witnesses in support.
Madam Chair and committee, my name is Will Clyden, and I founded Ojai Energetics. We're a hemp company. And unfortunately, due to the legacy language before the primary driver of the hemp economy that other states are leading because they had updated laws that are in compliance with federal law, it limited our ability to grow commercially in state, so we had to go outside of state, losing money for the state as well as job opportunities. Other companies just built a $25 million facility in Kentucky, leaving California, and it's a California company, so we want to bring jobs and the economy back to the state and just update the legacy language so that we can move forward as an industry leader.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, Brett Barrow representing Vote Hemp. And first of all, I won't repeat what has already been said, but I'd like to thank Senator Wilk for taking a leadership role on this issue and bringing it before this committee. I think it's important that we update these laws to take care of some of the legacy language that is keeping California behind in what is a $680 million industry. I think the opportunities are endless in this regard, and I think it's important that we make these changes. So with that, I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support?
Madam Chair, members, Jason Bryant on behalf of the California Growers Association. We are in support of the legislation. Appreciate the language specific in the bill that allows counties to opt out of this program in order to protect cannabis cultivation and separate that cultivation from industrial hemp cultivation to ensure that cross-pollination issues don't occur on the farm. So we're in support of the bill and thank the author. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any witnesses in opposition? Any questions, comments from members? Senator Pan has moved the bill. Will our secretary please call the roll?
Oh, Donnie Gaines-Lowes.
You may, if you wish.
I really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the support from the chair and the members of the committee. Really, hemp is America. The Declaration of Independence was written on hemp. Betsy Ross made the first flag out of hemp. It's... If you want to know why we don't have hemp in this country anymore, I suggest that you fly to Boston, take an Uber to Harvard, and go pull Henry Stern's senior thesis, because it was on industrial hemp, and he can tell you, and it's the whole report on what happened to hemp. It's in a fantastic plant. We can use the whole plant. It's going to bring jobs to California, and it's going to do it in a very sustainable way, less water, less pesticides. It's a miracle plant, and I'm really happy that we're gonna once again become a leader in the country. So thank you for your vote.
Thank you.
I know. Go. I stumbled on my opening, so I feel I gotta close.
Will our secretary please call the roll?
SB 1409. The motion is due pass and re-refer to public safety. Senators Galjani.
Aye.
Galjani, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Berryhill. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. That one's out.
That bill is out.
We have one on Thank call. You.
We have one bill on call. And that is Senate Bill 965 by Senator McGuire. Will our secretary please call the absent members?
SB 965, the motion is due pass and re-refer to rules. Senators Berryhill. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. It's out.
That bill is out. That concludes our business for today. Thank you very much.